All right, Investor Plus is officially live, and it's everything you've been waiting for.
We're talking AI power networking to connect you with other investors who are serious about building their portfolio, not just dreaming about it.
You'll get access to Market Master Her, our step-by-step ebook that'll help you master any market, and an on-demand real estate fundamentals course that'll help you build your confidence. And nationwide chapter access, exclusive discounts worth over $6,000, and a 21-day meditation guide because, hey, balance is key. Are you avoiding difficult conversations?
Of course we are. What are you talking about?
I get it, right? Nobody looks forward to their day and goes, I want to have difficult conversations all day. But here's the deal. Difficult conversations and moving through them is crucial for your personal and professional growth.
And here's the deal, Liz. You are able to have them strategically if you know the rules of the game. And that's exactly what we're going to share with you. A step-by-step how you can prepare, execute, and learn from those difficult conversations. And the most important thing of it, you're going to feel good after having them. So let's dive in.
Welcome to the Investor Podcast. I'm Liz Faircloth.
And I am your co-host, Andrea Segadelli.
When was the last time that we had a difficult conversation with people?
In the last week. In the last week, right?
And that's why that sparkled this. So we want to share with you what we did and lessons that we learned. So we're not just in theory, that's how we do it. No, that's exactly what we did it. Okay. Yep. We're sharing
life
that with
is you. Content, right? Life is content.
Hopefully the person is not listening. So let's go.
No.
So the first thing is you're going to determine the outcome. What do I mean by it? You're going to, in our case, Liz and I sit down and then we determine the outcome that we want to have for that meeting. And I'm not just talking financially, right? I'm also looking into the relationship. Are we looking to solve this? Are we looking to move forward? Are we looking to end? What are the outcomes of it? And I think that sometimes people go to those meetings without a clear agenda and without a clear outcome. And sometimes there is miscommunication, right, Liz? I might have an expectation of the outcome and you might have a different expectation of the outcome. And then in the meeting, we are disconnected. So the worst thing that you can do is to be disconnected from the person that you were with in this call. And one thing that I learned from our mentor, that it's like non-negotiable for us. If there are two people on the quote unquote other side, I cannot come by myself, or Liz will not go by herself. We need to be two people on this side. You never go to a meeting where you are the only one and there are three people on the other side. Strategically, that is a no-no. It needs to be 1-on-1, 2-2, or 3-3. You determine who is in the meeting and what are everybody's input in there.
Yeah. And I think that the key, just to be quick, is I think people do avoid difficult conversations because they just don't know what they even want. Meaning that's where this step comes in, is like, what do
Well, let's talk about it. They want that to not exist.
Right. Beyond, right. Wanting to it not to exist. But beyond the difficultness of the conversation, there's an outcome you're looking for. That's why it's a difficult conversation. And so I think what a lot of women we see do, right, they go into these difficult conversations and they're not clear on what they want, what that like that ideal picture looks like. And I think that they're missing something if they're not doing that work. Be flexible, be open, create possibility, but go in with what you want. That's really important.
Exactly. And I think that that's very important to the term. Liz and I really write down this strategy of what is the outcome and what are the items that are up for grabs, meaning we're willing to give up. You need to name those things. So then the other party feels that you are playing ball, that you are negotiating it. Obviously, you're not going to show all your cards up front, but those are the three or four things that you are willing to give up. You are willing to be flexible. You have to write them. If you don't have that and you have like, if I don't have X, then it's done. That's non-negotiation, and that's not a good strategy. So in these situations, how can both parties feel that they're moving forward and meeting in the middle? That's the ultimate goal. So you have to write it down. If your ego is in place, your ego will not allow you to be flexible at all because you want to be right. So put that in mind. Second thing, establish the roles. What do I mean by it? Liz and I will fluctuate about who is going to be the good guy, the bad guy, who is going to be leading it, who is going to be initiating it, who is going to be closing it, who is going to be pushing it, who is going to be the one like, okay, guys, let's take a step back here and take a breath. It's all strategically pre-planned. And that might look crazy, but that's how it is. I'll tell you, that's exactly how it is. You can predict so many things, right? Not predict, but prepare, because that is the dynamic of difficult conversations. You are going to push, you're going to pull back, you're going to light things up, you're going to really like speed things up, you are going to jab, you're going to get jabbed, right? That's the game. That expectations, we're going to break that down, but she knows what I'm going to do. Liz knows what I'm going to do. And I know what she is going to do when we are in it together. I know exactly what she's about to do when something happens. She knows exactly what I'm about to do when something happened, because we really rehearsed that in the back. Looks very, very natural. But it was not.
I want to say something there, especially when you're having difficult conversations with different partners. You know, it can be whoever it is with you. You need to have that pre-conversation. You and I had a difficult conversation before the difficult conversation, right? If you remember, that's important
to get in alignment, right?
To get in alignment, yeah. Right? It wasn't just to have one, right? But to get into alignment, and so you got to be able to do that work, so that you're aligned, so that you can move the needle forward. And it's not comfortable, and it's not like this thing that everyone wants to do, but I just want to say that you need to be aligned with your team, your partner, ahead of time, so do the work to get there.
Yeah. And again, you do the same thing, right? Liz, I am willing to give up on this. Are you willing to give up on that? You're like, what is important to you? What is important to me? What is important to the company? And we come from different perspectives, which is a really good way of having it. But at the same time, she's selling to me her point of view. I'm selling to her the point of view. And sometimes we are both defending the needs of the company, right? The entity is not about me. It's not about Liz. It's about what the needs of the entity is. So keep that in mind, because that is where her and I really like, okay, what is the mission? So it's mission, team, and self. That is the sequence that we use.
I want to add one more thing. And when you're having difficult conversations, if you are naturally a very subjective, emotional person, you're going to maybe cave in quicker, more relationship oriented. It is so helpful to have someone who's so not that, right? They're more logical. They're more fact-based. Those two people make each other nutty, like you and I, often, because we come at like the feeling side versus the fact. But when you're having difficult conversations, when you can have feeling and fact together, it really is very powerful, because it's such a nice blend. And it also presents that difficult conversation in two very, very important ways.
Absolutely. I am very fact-based, right? So that having somebody that looks at the relationship, and I consider that in there. It's not, I'm not saying everybody, like, let's pause the thought process that all of you are having, like, oh, she doesn't give a fuck about people. That's not what I'm saying. I do give for those that have integrity and are living their best life. Those that are not playing the arena, I have no interest in having conversation with those folks.
I'll have conversations with them.
I will not. I don't know. You either playing the arena with me right there. Otherwise, I don't even want to hear your opinion about it, how you feel, Susie. Anyway, the point that I'm trying to make here is that to me, it's very natural right now to look at the data and the relationship completely. Sometimes I even say to Liz, give me a snapshot, a pulse on this relationship here. What we are looking to, are we looking to advance? Are we in alignment? It has to have an alignment, right? Where we can take responsibility and move forward, all of it, all the above, right? Sometimes it's on us to say, listen, drop the ball. Here's what we are proposing to move forward and let's go. There is no excuse for dropping a ball. People don't really care. And I neither. So let's really salvage the relationship, but it has to have integrity and the values need to be aligned. Otherwise, why waste time, right? So the execution of the strategy, what do I mean by it? You prepare, and now it's time to execute. And when I say execution, I mean a roadmap. Roadmap, especially if there are multiple people on a conversation, sometimes a thought can lead to take a turn. And they were like, well, how the hell did we get here? We have to have somebody that is aware of those parallel conversations and like, okay, we lost focus here. Let's go back to what it is. So really create like those milestones. First, we're going to talk about this. That will lead to that point that will make more sense than for all of them to understand this point. You're really painting the picture little by little. Somebody needs to lead here, and depending on the dynamic of who is what, right? But somebody needs to lead that versus let's have a conversation about it. No, we're going to really like, what are the steps of the conversation over here? And where do you want to lead everybody to? Everybody needs to have the same data and sense of what is really happening and how we can powerfully move forward. Because it's not a pleasure to the other person as well to have all of that, right? So one thing that Liz and I, it's funny, right? Because we do this and it's expectations in terms of anticipated reactions. Depending on who you're communicating with, you can do that. If it's somebody new, you actually don't know, right? You will evaluate later on. But yeah, you can say, listen, when I will say this sentence or when I will point it out, this data over here, this person will get triggered. They will say this, this, and that. So we go a few steps, right? And then is really like, okay, here we go. We are running the script that we thought that was going to be because we estimated those. We might be wrong, of course, but I'm thinking about it. Okay, how about if this person completely rejects my proposal and is not willing to move? What we would do? Here, what are the costs of us going to litigation versus meeting in the middle here? Or we put all of those into place. And that includes our own voice tonality and body language. Liz, I'll share this insight. Liz, no, if I lean back on my chair and I mute myself, what does that mean, Liz?
That I probably need to speak up, but no. But you're triggered, certainly. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're triggered. You're going to talk over the person possibly. And we want to, you know, at most, right, avoid that so we can be, everyone's heard and move through this.
Correct. So I mute myself immediately when I'm conscious, right? It's all like when people are triggered, right? And then not their shadow self shows up. So if I'm triggered, I mute myself. I take a step back. I'm on my chair and I wait a minute and a half. That's all it takes for me to reassess. Not just me, anybody, right?
Yeah.
And if I see that somebody's triggered, I also need to have compassion to that person and emotional intelligence to see it. That person got triggered. I said something or Liz said something or somebody said something that made a meaning of it, right, Liz? And I didn't think we talked about that because sometimes people feel that the result of their work is who they are. So if I didn't like X, Y, and Z on a project, that means I didn't like them. So they don't separate their work from themselves. So keep that in mind because you always say, Liz, like, what is the meaning of it in your head?
Sure.
Right? Because yeah. And then encourage them to say, well, when you guys said X, Y, and Z, I heard this, this, and that. And I was like, oh, wow. So let me clarify, right? It gives you an opportunity. But if we don't know what's in their head, really understanding like, ooh, that's just a miscommunication, 100%. So we're actually on the same page, right? That's the surprise. Oh, wait a minute. That's not what I meant. Or is this what you meant? Like really like the communication piece, it's so big. And I do believe that people are more aligned, the disaligned when it comes down to what they really want, right? In terms of the relationship, but they are not really analyzing the communication piece and making sure that it's super clear and people are not accumulating it, the miscommunication and creating resentment.
Totally. I think there's so many pieces of this that I want to share, but I want to give a quick like, not disclaimer, but something that I want you to think about, everyone listening, of where they fall on the continuum, because all of this is so important. But if you don't really know thyself, none of this will be useful and the process will not work. What do I mean by that? You know, I often will see people either more fighters, they're more direct, they're ready to go, or they're flight, meaning they're more like, hold on, I don't really like conflict. No one likes it, but someone who's going to be more direct than other people, right? More direct versus a non-direct person. So you need to know where do you fall? Because you're going to need to adapt and you get triggered in different ways for difficult conversations. And what I mean by that, if I am someone who's going to be more direct and you know, and Jessa was sharing, if she gets triggered and she's moving back, she's helping herself remove herself from the situation. So it's kind of calming her, right? Muting herself. So that's something that she does as you know, to be mindful of. Where if I'm someone, if I get triggered and I'm taking something very personal, which I do, I get triggered in a different way, and I get my fisticuffs up because I don't want to be told what to do, I then need to step back in a difficult conversation and go, okay, let me go forward here. Let me move forward. Let me be a little more direct and clear here versus retreat. So there's always like this dance. It's really a dance. Having a difficult conversation is a dance. And I think to not know where you fall is the biggest mistake, honestly, that you can make. And then you can employ this strategy, especially with a partner or if you're with someone, and it's just like can really work out really well, honestly. But if you're not clear on what you're doing and you just want to have a chat with someone or you gotta bring the strategy. Because I know the people that are more like relationship oriented and more extrovert, like, hold on. There's a lot of like strategy here. We're going to work it through because we're going to be talking to the person. Well, you need to think through those steps, even though you may not naturally, right? And then the person that's like, yeah, totally strategy. Well, you guys might need to be a little flexible here. Mm-hmm. So it's like an ebb and flow. And I just want to share that. Know where you fall and then know where you get triggered and what you can do so you set yourself up individually for success.
You know, a lot of people are might be thinking, oh, I just don't want to have those difficult conversations. And I'm telling you, you are already having them inside your own head.
That's the
many
truth.
Many times.
That is the truth, Andressa.
Over and over again. So if you are avoiding a difficult conversation because you just don't want to have it, you are having multiple times inside your own head. And that is very painful. That creates a lot of anxiety, doesn't allow you to sleep. You wake up thinking about that. So have the freaking conversation with the other person and get it out of your system and close that little tab, right? I feel like those are tabs on like the computer that you have it close the loop and have it and truly do the work that needs to be done. because if you are avoiding this conversation with your contractor, for example, you are avoiding it with your best friend that is not showing up, maybe your partner or somebody, your school teacher or whatever, right? It's all over the place. It's not like some only one place that they're avoiding it.
Absolutely. I want to say too, if you don't have the confidence to go to that person directly, like Andres is saying, immediately, you might need to talk to a coach. Talk to someone that is indifferent. You know, I sometimes can be in my head and I don't even know the conversation that I need to have. And I really need to express it externally. That really works for me because then I'm very clear then. And then I have it all lined up. So don't beat yourself up, but look for outside support. So then when you go to that person, you're clear. You know exactly, like bingo, bango, bingo. But don't feel like this pressure to figure it all out by yourself, especially if you're someone who's having conversations in your head. You're going to need to talk it through with somebody. Totally. You know, just saying, don't make them your first person. Go and get support somewhere else, especially people that care, like, and trust you and want to support you.
Absolutely. And the last step is debrief, right? And throughout the years, I think I wish I had done this better. Liz and I, we have the conversation. And then after that, we're like, okay, from a holistic perspective, what we have learned in terms of the relationship with this vendor, with this partner, in terms of things that we can implement on our business to avoid this to happen. I cannot change somebody else's behavior or somebody else's business, right? I can change my behavior, our behavior, the company standards and procedures that we will put in place. One thing that never, ever, ever worked is having a meeting where everybody is dumping their brain. And there is no agenda for the meeting. And we are all hashing it out and sharing our opinions. And then it's just vomiting out the brain. And that never ends well. That does not support the conversation. And is a loss-loss. There's no win-win, right? So I encourage you, and if you're resisting to really put on paper this, it's probably that you're really like more on the quote unquote loose flexible side, which that's totally fine. But that if you're listening to this is because it hasn't been working.
Sure.
So I encourage you to try it, modify it. You can mix and match as you wish over here and find your own way, right? I'm not saying that this is the only way to do it, but going to a meeting without both parties understanding what is the agenda, what is the plan, you and your partner are on the same page about what we are looking to do here strategically. And at the end, fully going back and say, yep, we mess up that time. Next time, I shouldn't be saying this. We do it all the time. Liz, you are going to be the one approaching this way. I'm going to be the one next time it's me on this part over here. Or what can we adjust our contract now? like now, right? Because the most important thing for you is to get those lessons. Otherwise, my dear investor, it's going to happen again and again and again and in a larger scale until you have the courage to have those conversations and learn those lessons. So get the lesson, get the conversation going, get all the lessons that you had to learn and make the changes, behavioral for your business, for your partnerships, and just move forward.
Two questions that have served me well is that, do I want to be right or do I want to win? And what I mean by that is, do I want to be right? Because that will, that difficult conversation can go one way, right? Or do I want to win, meaning not beat the person, but do we want to move powerfully through this experience? And so that has been very helpful to me as I've kind of guided myself. Everyone's different, but I just wanted to offer that for the people, for the women listening too, is in all the strategy and the step-by-step process, right? Asking yourself that question just kind of brings it in perspective. So you keep the end in mind.
You know, one thing that I learned throughout the years with you, Liz, many situations where like I told Liz, that's not fair, Liz, that's not fair. Jesus Christ, that's not fair. And then she's like, how much energy is it taking from us to really input in our business and move along, right? And I am telling you, all of you, if there's something that is like you were saying, it's not fair, I'm going to continue fighting for it, I encourage you to just close that page, move forward. Because looking back, I don't even remember what was unfair. Could care less. Could care less right now because my focus is on growing the company and making an impact in the world. That's where my energy should be versus thinking about X, Y, and Z. That it's fair and unfair. I don't know. I don't even remember. And it was not that long time ago. Right? So trust me. Trust me. You will forget, which is a blessing. Oh, what a blessing. All right. So I hope you take this podcast to your heart and adjust accordingly. Have the courage to have the
have them.
Have them. Have those conversations. Okay. If you need further support, we're always here to give you what you need. Tag us on our Facebook group community. We're here to support you. The more that you share your experience, other women will also get the courage to do the same and live their best life because we all deserve to reach financial freedom. Thanks so much for listening. Bye. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.